Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. Success leaves footprints. And the thing about footprints is sometimes they become covered up. When we talk about Black history, many things have been covered up. Among those are how horrible slavery was. We know that people were required to work and they were required to work hard. But we don't see the effects many times of what it had 24/7, what it did for families, what it did for individuals, many of whom were punished severely. Many of them were even killed for minor acts, if any act at all. One of the things that we also find out is that the high points, those areas where we have accomplished great deeds that have benefited not only America, but the world, many times these are left out. Now, today we're going to talk about voting and one of the ways in which slavery and the perpetuation of slavery, even after it was officially over, have taken place over the question of voting. When people were brought to this country, they had no possessions. They came with nothing, and they were kept with nothing. They didn't have money. They didn't have land. They lacked opportunity. And that's what's so severe that we often don't see. But I'm talking about one of the mechanisms that has perpetuated that system until today. It continues to operate today, and it continues to operate to our detriment. And we're going to talk about that and some of the things that we can do. This is the start of a mini-series. There are several things that we will talk about in this series, including voting, which in general is what we're talking about today. This is a tutorial on voting. But we will look at voter suppression, we'll look at gerrymandering, and we'll look at other aspects of voting, including how to vote, where to vote. Now, when I say how, I don't mean the dimple chads, the whatever, although we can talk about those subjects. Now, as we speak, many of you are joining us with your device, computers and other. And that's great. We want you here because we want to share the information that comes out. The information that I'm about to give you is necessary if you want to interact with us. And what do I mean by that? If you have a question, a suggestion, you disagree with something, that is possible, but you need to call in so that I can see the switchboard and know and recognize you when that time comes. The number, should you decide that you want to interact with the program, is 646-668-8217. Again, that number is area code 646-668-8217. I will give that number again during the program and prior to the time that we do open the microphones. But the program is geared towards you, our listeners. We want you to be well informed. We want you to understand those things that have been hidden from you by historians who don't want to tell the story. Now, why don't they want to tell the story? There are historians that do tell the stories, and that's where we are. We're in those dark, dank archives looking at information. But most of us are exposed to history by way of our schools, whether they be high schools, middle schools, earlier, or even college. But what we have is a situation where in high school and below, we generally have school boards. School boards have to approve the books that the teachers use. Notice somebody else is approving the curriculum and what is being taught to our children. When people come out and make statements that go counter to what these parents want, you understand the importance of not only voting, but running for office on the school board. Because that sets policy, it sets precedents, it sets a curriculum, it sets what books can and cannot be used. We are in a time now that really depresses me. Because as I was listening to National Public Radio, NPR, the other day, I followed the second in a set of posts that they did, or articles that they did on libraries. And we're finding that many librarians are leaving the field. And they're leaving because they have been challenged, physically challenged. There have been threats against them. And in the one episode, the librarian in Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, has left her job because of the threats, because she cannot get security. And it all started when a parent came up and asked if they had a particular book. They did not have it. But that parent started a movement. And in other areas of the county and the state, they went about making themselves very well known. And this is what we're finding. We're finding that some libraries are actually closing. These are the repositories of knowledge. To me, it seems as if we're stepping back into the dark ages, as if we're going back into a cave, because we don't want people to be well informed. Only way that I can visualize this situation happening. Many libraries are being forced to close because they can't get insurance because of the number of threats that are coming in to them. To that end, we have this particular blog. And in that blog, we talk about subjects that many dare not talk about because they are important to you, our dear readers, our listeners. This program is put together not only for people of color, but it's put together for any and everybody, because many of the issues that we talk about here in one way or another influence and affect other people. Because we don't talk about history, because we don't delve into it, we look at everything as either black or white, no shades of gray, no color, no anything else. For that reason, we believe that every white person in this country descended from slave owners. And many are carrying guilt because that is their belief. When we sit down in a room, either you are or ain't, you is or you ain't, one or the other. But there are so many people that have ancestors that have made dramatic sacrifices in the name of equality for all people. All people. And many times that came with great price. It came at a significant price, sometimes even the loss of life. But we do not realize it because history is not fairly portrayed. It does not give us all of the facts. We talk about history, the foundation of history, and why it is important that we know our history. But what good is it to know something if it's not factual, if it is not based on fact? Can you build a solid building on that foundation? Before you start to Google and do other things, let me tell you, the answer is no. When we look back at our biblical teachings, we find that you build this church on a rock. A rock is a solid foundation. A rock doesn't mean that it is always flat, but it is solid. It is a footing so that what you build will not wash away. And when we do this, we can true that foundation. Part of the purpose of a foundation, not only to build on a rock, but to build true, to build level, to build plumb, that is horizontal, vertically, and that's what we are attempting to do. In order to do that, we want to take a look at the issues that come up, let you know what they are and why they are important. So as we go into our discussion, we'll talk about that. One of the things that has been constant throughout the history of America is that people have attempted to take the vote away from people that they did not want to have power, that they did not want to have power. Now, let me skip to the Reconstruction Amendments. We sometimes hear that term, but what are they? What's the importance and significance of them? We hear about the Emancipation Proclamation, a great document, but who did it free? It only freed, well, it didn't free any slaves in America, none. Why? Because that document freed those people in states formerly as part of the United States would have seceded and formed a separate country, the Confederate States of America, not in America, because there were slave-holding states that did not secede, and the Emancipation Proclamation did not free those slaves. So what did free the slaves? The 13th Amendment freed the slaves. This came after the Emancipation Proclamation. And to show you how determined many people are, do you realize that the 13th Amendment was not ratified in Mississippi until 2013? 2013? I guess they just overlooked it. Seeing the way that they act, can you believe that that's just oversight? It passed because the majority of the states are the required number. And in some cases, it's not just a simple majority. It requires two-thirds or three-quarters of all people to vote. And this is why it's so important that we look at all elections, because we're going to talk about the House of Representatives. We're going to talk about the Senate. We're going to talk about the presidential election. What we're coming up to is sometimes referred to as an off-year election. Off-year because it is not the year that the president is elected. The president is elected every 4 years. But there are other House of members of the Congress that are scheduled on a different cycle. We have the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives is made up of people who are elected to two-year terms. 2 years, not four. Two-year terms. So it is important. Now, we have seen with the present president, President 46, the 46th president, that the only reason much of the legislation that has passed because of control of the House and the Senate. Now, the Senate doesn't elect to 2-year terms. They elect to 6-year terms. Another difference is that the House of Representatives represents a particular district. And we're going to talk about gerrymandering and how that affects our elections. And we need to be aware of these situations as we vote and what they mean for our future, what they have done to our past and what they can do for our future. As we look at the Senate, there are 2 representatives from each state, 2 from each state. The House of Representatives is proportionate and is based on population. Every state has at least 1 representative in the House of Representatives, and we do have some states with only 1. But California, with a population of almost 40 million, has more representatives than does Wyoming, for example. Wyoming has 1 because their population is roughly 600,000 plus people. But we also have people in this country that don't have any representation. Who are they? They are the people that do not live in a state. And I'm sure that there are people that says everybody lives in a state. But I argue, Washington, D.C. is not in a state. It is not in Virginia. It's not in Maryland or any of the adjoining states. Washington, D.C., if you see on most maps, is represented by a diamond shape, usually in yellow or gold, because it is that unique body, has more people than the state of Wyoming, but has no representative or has no voting representative. Now, Washington, D.C. is 10 miles on a side, but we see over in that southwest area, it's jagged. Is it jagged? If it was 4 straight lines that were set out. And this tells us how significant race, how significant slavery has been in the United States of America. The reason that line is jagged is because if it had been drawn straight, the slave market would have been in Washington, D.C. And the law said no slave market in Washington, D.C. So rather than drive the slave market out, they left it out. So we're talking about something that is extremely significant. Race has played an extremely large part in shaping our country, pun intended. There are many places we see where the panhandle of Oklahoma came about because of slavery, because it was outlawed above, I believe, was the 35th parallel, and that's where Oklahoma got part of Texas. Because if Texas had taken all of their land, they would have been a free state. So they gave it to Oklahoma instead. We're talking about something, folks, that if we don't know and don't understand what's taking place, we lose out. We feel that in many cases, everything is fair, that everybody had the same opportunity that everybody else, and that is not true either. What we find is that the slaves could not own property. They could not have assets. And what does that do? That puts them at the mercy of someone who does not have their best interest at heart. Why? Because slaves provide free labor. You think black people were the only ones tricked or caught up in this mess? No. Poor white people were too. Because when the Civil War broke out, they passed a law. The rich white slave-owning people passed a law that said for every 20 slaves I own. I, the one who benefits most from this free labor, can exempt one of my sons. By the end of the war, he could exempt a son for every 15 slaves that he owned. So we put a different component in there that most people are unaware of. When we look at the 13th Amendment, which freed the slaves, we look at the 14th Amendment. And what did the 14th Amendment do? It granted citizenship to everybody born in this country, on this soil. And so we had citizens now, whereas before they were chattel property. And chattel property basically is anything that you own, a table, a chair. And most of them had no more rights or privileges than a chair or a table in your kitchen. This is what it meant to have the life of a slave. Wasn't very good. Now, the 15th Amendment, and we don't talk about this very often, is the one that granted the right to vote to black men. Black women didn't get to vote at that point. It was only after the 19th Amendment was passed. But let me tell you of a significant event that happened with the passage of the 15th Amendment. There were people that said, it's okay. Now they're free. We can still trick them. We can still do other things with them. Became citizens. That's, you know, getting down there a little bit. I'm not sure if I want them to have all of that. But, yeah, we can play around with this. The 15th Amendment guaranteed the right to vote to black men. This precipitated a plot to kill the president, the vice president, and the secretary of, I believe it was war. It was Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, and Seward. Those three were going to be killed. The only one that was killed, unfortunately, was Abraham Lincoln. With the death of Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Johnson, a Southerner, became president. And when he became president, he began dismantling the gains that had been made in the Civil War, began dismantling them. And one of the first things that we see is that people started passing laws infringing upon the voting rights of black people, ways to keep them out. They came up with tests, literacy tests. Now, many of these people were, because it was against the law, were not taught to read and write because it was against the law. But then you had to pass literacy tests in many cases to vote. You had to have a poll tax. They wouldn't let you earn money in most cases in slavery. So these were laws that allowed them to vote. Now, what about white people? There were some that were dumber than a rock. That's where we come to the grandfather clause. The grandfather clause says if your grandfather could vote before the Civil War, and all white men could, then you can. Now, what did that do? That basically disenfranchised black people from voting. So we see a litany of things taking place. When we look at Congress, it's divided into what's sometimes known as an upper or senior chamber and a lower chamber, which is the House of Representatives. All of these laws and amendments have to be passed by both. But we get away from the population. And this is why it's important to understand this particular aspect. While in the House of Representatives, California has way more representatives than Wyoming. When it comes to the Senate, every state has two. So the 600,000 people in Wyoming have the same voice as 40 million people living in California. This is what the Electoral College is based on. So to the many people of California, and California has one of the largest economies if it were measured by states against the nations, that it's not funny. They contain way, way more, but they don't have that much clout when it comes to the Senate. And so we look at that. This is how we can have a person win the popular vote, but lose the Electoral College, because the Electoral College is based on the Senate. Should something be done about it? Probably. What? I don't know. But there are some brilliant minds out here that I'm sure can tell us and give us ideas and suggestions on what that should be. It may be you. But it's important that we not freedom, our ability to vote, evaporate. Because when we start talking about gerrymandering, that's something that should give you nightmares. And it is based on the party in power. When the census is done, which is every 10 years, they get to control the districts that basically comprise the districts that people are in. We'll talk a little bit about that more, because I think that's probably a cloudy issue in the minds of many people. Because we have that situation, we have made an attempt to be fair to all people. That's why we have a bicameral government. That just means a body made up of two branches. And so this is the situation we find ourselves in. And it is difficult to maneuver around that. We often look at the non-presidential years of elections as unimportant. But had it not been for Georgia electing two representatives to make the Senate 50-50, now, how does that give somebody an edge? Because the person that presides over the Senate is the vice president. And in this case, it's Kamala Harris. And the only time that person has a vote is when it is a tie. Now, what we've seen are ideas that come up that are partisan. That means by one party. And we've seen vote after vote after vote after vote that are based party line. Many of you are thankful now to have medical insurance. Medical insurance. But the Republicans took, 50 or 60 attempts to get rid of it? The only reason that you have it is because we were able to pull that off. And we see so many things happening today. And if you study it, you need to study not only the fact that the bill is before Congress, but which body of Congress. Something else, when it comes to the states, rather than districts, the senators represent the entire state, the entirety of it. Here in South Carolina, I live in the upstate, but the representative, the senators that we have represent the entire state. They're in there for 6 years. So that's Lindsey Graham and Tim Scott. Lindsey Graham, and Tim Scott. Think about it. They have as much power as the state of California, as the state of Texas. The biggest to the smallest have the same amount of power. And that's what we have to recognize. So there are no unimportant elections. When we look at our neighbor to the south, which is Georgia, we find that one of the two senators that was elected in the last election is up for re-election because it was a partial term. And what that was Raphael Warnock and Ossoff were the elected people during the presidential term. But Warnock was only in for 2 years before he has to run for a full term, which is this year. Compare him to Herschel Walker. Herschel is running tightly there. But if just that one race were lost, we lose much of the ability to get legislation passed, because it must pass both bodies, the House and the Senate. We look at many of the riots that have taken place in this country. I live in South Carolina, but I have never heard of the Phoenix riots. Not Phoenix, Arizona, Phoenix, South Carolina. And in that particular battle, and we see, and it makes it sometimes difficult to understand what's taking place in history, because in those days, and we're talking about the 1800s, the mid-1800s, all black people registered as Republicans. All blacks were Republicans, not Democrats, as we see today. In fact, the Democrats had an all-white primary, and you had to go through the primary before you could get to the general election. And it's been fairly recent before that was outlawed. What happened? When we went through a period of time, presidents such as Lyndon Johnson signing the Voters' Rights Act of 65, when he did that, he predicted that it would be 40 years before they got in power again, because it was just that distasteful to people that Americans would grant the right to vote to all citizens. Many people say that, what have you done to deserve the right to fight? Let me come back to my home state, my birth state, where I was born. And we see that Freddie Stowers, in World War I, from Sandy Springs, South Carolina, down near Clemson University, down in Anderson County, was the first black soldier to win the Medal of Honor, the highest honor that America can give in World War I. It happened in my state. The Phoenix riots happened because black people insisted on voting. We had the governor of South Carolina, Pitchfork Ben Tillman, or Benjamin Pitchfork Tillman. You see him referred to in both ways. Made bold claims that he had killed black people and would continue to do so. When we look at Clemson University, there's a hall on that campus named for him, Tillman Hall. Clemson cannot change the name of it because there are laws on the books in South Carolina that says it takes a two-thirds or three-quarters, I don't remember which, majority of all the senators to make that change. Do you know how difficult that is? It's not. We're not talking about 51%. We're talking about a much larger number. So as much as they would like to change it, they can't even do it. This is why we see taxpayer money being used to fund losers. And I'm talking about losers. These are the generals of the Confederate States of America, a country that drew arms on the United States of America. How sad is that? We had almost the same situation take place in Germany. Now, Germany has bought their past. They acknowledge it. They're still paying people that were affected by that regime. But they have over 100 museums dedicated to telling the story of the Holocaust because they own it. The only way that you can fix a problem is to own up to it. And this is something that we have not done because we have school boards that said you cannot teach basically history. They talk about critical race theory. No, critical race theory is. It is a concept in law. Not necessarily a fact in history. And they have botched up those to a large extent. I want to know how many people in South Carolina have heard of the Phoenix riots. I was old before I ever found out about it. And I don't live 70 miles away from the place. I do not. I find that a regiment that fought in World War I, the Harlem Hellfighters, started off as 15th New York, were sent to Spartanburg, South Carolina, stationed at Camp Wadsworth. And to those of you in Spartanburg, this is an area out near Westgate Mall. In fact, there is a monumental sign to the 369th that I will almost bet dollars to donuts that most of you have never seen it. Never seen it. You passed it hundreds of times. And it's dedicated to the 369th. Henry Johnson and the other guy's name were on sentry duty. And the Germans tried to invade their camp. And when they started looking around to find fragments, they found out that these two black soldiers fought off up to 30 German soldiers, hand-to-hand combat. Henry Johnson was given the Medal of Honor, the highest award that can be given. Happened in my hometown. It happened, brought here to train in World War I. Mayor Floyd, and this letter is in the Chapman Cultural Center to those people of you that don't know about it. And the mayor says, we're not going to protect these people. At one time, there was a hotel just north of where the library is on the corner of Kennedy and Church Street. And when Noble Sissel, the band director for the 369th, most units had their bands, went into the hotel there to buy a paper, there was almost a riot, supposedly because he didn't take his hat off when he went in. This is how deep racial hatred is in this country. We're talking about men that are willing to die for their country. Not only were they willing to do that, but the reason they were willing to die is because they thought if they showed the courage, the dedication, the grit to do this, that they would come back and get some respect. It did not happen, folks. There are people who have been killed, lynched, for the very fact of wearing a uniform. When people came back, they didn't have any clothes. They were given a certain period of time when they could wear it. And even after that, there were some that wore parts of uniforms. They were proud of what they had done. But many of them were killed because of that. They were willing to die so that they and their relatives could have some respect. This is what voting is. Many of you, if you will dare think about it, just dare think about it, have relatives that have died, been beaten, fired, been chased off of their land, just because somebody did not want them to vote. If you follow this program every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, you heard a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the story of Ruby Bridges, 6-year-old in 1954 or 55, attended an all-white school. It wasn't the fact that we wanted to attend these schools just to be attending, because when you look at the records, they were spending up to 10 times as much on a white school as they were on a black school. When I went to school, I had hand-me-down books, and many times there were derogatory comments written in those books by the white kids that had them the year or years before. Demoralizing. It is time that we exercise our right to vote. This is what it means. This is the importance of doing it. And they have put all manner of obstacles in our way, including these stupid tests. Imagine going down. You may know the Constitution inside and out, but you get down to vote. And they ask you a question, how many bubbles are in a bar of soap? Now, the person asking you this question probably has no idea the answer. But when you don't answer and don't know, you're disqualified. Nobody in that building probably understands the factors that are even needed to make the calculations. You can come up with approximations, but what good are they and what do they have to do with voting? Nothing. And so we must protect our right to vote. We see all manner of laws to discourage it. In 1965, when the Voting Rights Act was passed, they took those jurisdictions, those states, and those areas where blacks had basically been trampled underfoot when it comes to voting rights. They had been denied time and time again the opportunity to vote. We look at some states and we see a backwards progression. As you read the article, you will see that. And I forget which state it was, but read that article. You want to read it? Go to AmazingBlackHistory.com and look up voting, a tutorial. Because I don't intend to just give you a paragraph. I intend to show you a decent summary of what's there. And we don't leave it there because many of you will be interested in other facts about that case. And we include videos so that you can see, sometimes from the people themselves, what has happened. We try to explain it. And that is not enough, because what we want you to do is to be educated. Education is power. We are going to come up with a series, another mini-series like this, to show you where mathematics was born. It was born in Africa, folks. But do we get any credit for it? No, we don't. And this is why we oftentimes think that we haven't done anything, because the information has been withheld from us. Now, when I say us, I'm not just talking about black people. I'm talking about white people as well. And how do they lose out? They don't want to invest in us as people, into us as students, into us in any form, because they are following the perpetuation of a falsehood that says we have not made contributions in this country. We have, from day one to day two. South Carolina made a fortune off of Carolina gold. What is Carolina gold? It's rice. Rice that did not come from China. It came from Africa. The white people here didn't know how to grow it. They brought people from Senegal over to plant the fields, tend it, harvest it, do everything necessary in order to do that. South Carolina made a fortune off of that. They didn't know how to do it. They couldn't do the work. They weren't going to do the work. And they got free labor. In addition to that, they got free land because they stole this from the indigenous people. The indigenous people are the people that were living here. We're told that Columbus discovered America. And what does that mean? Did that mean that there were 15 million people here waiting for Columbus to discover them? No. We had vast civilizations here that they don't want to tell you about. There were pyramids. There are pyramids in America. And Columbus documented the fact that when he first landed, and he's never been to North America, that the people here in the Americas were trading with people from Africa. We don't get a say in what happens. The reason that we wanted to get into those schools is because they had passed laws to say that, one, you could not go to a white school, and two, that separate but equal was the doctrine. Separate, yes. Nowhere close to it. Nowhere close to being equal. When we look at Brown v. Board, this is the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education, we find that there were five cases folded into that. One of them was led by a student out of Virginia by the name of Barbara Rose Johns. And there is a book that she's written. You can come to my site, AmazingBlackHistory.com. You can look up the article on her. On there, there is a link. When I link people, the links that go to books, and the books are available in the electronic form. They're available in audible form. They're available in oftentimes in paperback or hardcover, whatever you want. But you can sample the book in an audible form. You can listen to a five-minute narrated section of the book. Or you can get a chapter downloaded to your phone or your computer or whatever you want. And you can determine if that's something that you want. But I think that you become thirsty for information because so many people have a problem finding the information. I was embarrassed when I found out about these events that happened in my own backyard. I am thoroughly thrilled to know relatives of Freddie Stowers, and they are working in the area of education. His great niece has some fantastic things, and I have had her on the program and will probably have her back on the program. But these are important things to know. The niece and some of the other relatives were invited to the White House by George H.W. Bush when he posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor to Freddie Stowers. Posthumously, that means after his death. Many people are recognized after his after their death. Waverly Woodward was a hero in the invasion of Normandy. When all the troops there were white, they were not. The 320th Balloon Battalion was there. Did remarkable work, but you don't hear about it. We have to make ourselves known. We have to fight for what is not going to be given to us unless we do. Now, let me tell you, in addition to the roadblocks that are being placed, we have, for example, not made it easy for people with physical disabilities to vote. And I'm not just talking about access by wheelchair. I'm talking about to register. We take old people. Some of these old people haven't been out of their house in a while. But we require them to have identification. They don't need it anywhere except that place to vote. Many of them were already on the rolls. They purged hundreds of thousands of people in Georgia just before the election. Sometimes they didn't even know that they weren't eligible to vote. When you go vote, you see these long, long lines. Where are they? They're in the black precincts, not the white. There was an interview with one of the people who took her disabled employer to vote in and out in 6 minutes. And then when she went to vote in the black precinct, hours upon hours upon hours. These things have to change. And the only way they're going to change is if we exercise our right to vote now. Now, many of us can't register in time, but many places allow same-day registration. They have even started taking that away. When we used to have, and maybe we still do to an extent, souls to the polls, people would go to church and then they would go vote. Why? Because you couldn't afford to take time off from work to go vote. We're placed in jobs that generally are the lowest paying and have no benefits. You're not at work, you don't get paid. You don't have medical insurance. You don't have all of these things can change. Now, we disenfranchise people. You have a criminal record. Do you know that Vermont and Maine allow people in jail to vote? Because they say you've committed a crime, but you have not lost your citizenship. We see cases in Florida where the people have voted to allow people to clean their record up and vote. And what does Florida do? They give people identification that says, we have checked you and you're okay. And then these people vote, and they make charges against them, serious charges. We see people that have committed voter fraud, and it's an extremely small number. Nothing happens, except if you're black, then you're made an example of. We need to elect people not by the basis of their skin color, but by their interest. Do you represent my interest? If you represent my interest, you're my person. I cannot imagine. I guess I should be able to because I've got a fairly vivid imagination. Selecting a person like Herschel Walker to represent you. Let me tell you something else. Because of gerrymandering, and this is one of the topics that we're going to talk about later, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and if you follow any politics, you know that that's not your representative, has a significant number of black people done is they've drawn the lines so that it dilutes them into a body that does not have the ability to elect anyone with their interest in mind. And again, I said, I don't care what color you are, but I do care that we have the same interest. If you're going to represent me, you have to represent my interest, not be completely opposed to anything that would give me anything like fair and equal representation and citizenship. That's what you have to look at, folks. They will put ringers in on you. There was this, and I'm not going to go into that, it's paying for people to run that had no means of paying the $10,000 or whatever filing fee so that they could draw votes to people that were voting on skin color alone. And sometimes this allowed a very undesirable person to be placed into office. We have to be smart. We have to realize what's taking place, and we have to be able to react to it. When it comes to our elections, it matters who's on our city council, because the city council, as opposed to the sheriff, the sheriff is an elected position, and generally the chief law enforcement officer of that county, whereas the police chief is elected by, in many cases, the city manager or the council people. There are several forms of city government. All are not the same. But if your interests aren't there and aren't protected, this is where we find that we get left out. When we look at the case of Breonna Taylor, for example, where she is in her bed, sleep, and they do a no-knock warrant, and she is shot multiple times in her own home, sleeping. The information that was used to verify a no-knock warrant turns out that it wasn't correct. And yet and still, the prosecuting attorney says, I don't see a case here. I don't see a case here. The guy is outside firing wildly. They did bring a charge against him for firing into an adjacent apartment, not the one with Breonna Taylor in it. When we look at the case of Eric Chauvin in Minnesota, where he was convicted and the four officers were convicted as well, that the prosecutor there took the case. We see cases every day, all too often, where unarmed black people are shot, killed. But the determination as to whether that case is prosecuted is left to that prosecuting attorney without oversight, basically. And this is why we come out and we say, oh, it should never happen, it should never happen. We've got to do something. We've got to be involved. If you can't find somebody to represent you, you run. Find out what it takes. We cannot believe this to be a spectator sport. Every office is important. Here in Spartanburg, we lost a swim center. Why? Because we didn't have anybody that knew what was going on until it was too late. Sometimes you need to be in proximity of the decision makers. And if you're not, you lose out. You lose out. I mention these because I'm close to them. I understand what they represent, but these are not the only cases. Most people here probably don't have the foggiest idea of what's going on. Don't let that be etched on your tombstone. When your kids and grandkids and great-grandkids say, what did you do? Don't be the one that says, I would have gone vote, but I had to watch my show. Come on now, folks. This is what happened. We had a governor, Nikki Haley, was not popular in my community. Between Greenville and Spartanburg counties, out of the, I don't know how many, 40 counties or whatever we have, those two counties had enough people who were registered and did not vote to have changed that election. You say your vote is unimportant. A lot of it has to do with gerrymandering, which we'll talk about. A lot of it has to do with the manipulation of what's going on. Very little of it has to do with the fact that your vote doesn't get counted. There are laws that provide for that. But the number and percentage of people that do that are so small that it's you're more likely to get hit by lightning, let's say that, than to find a person committing voter fraud. And the ones that are generally ain't us. Don't look like us. But unless we get involved, and get involved does not mean sitting on the couch talking about it. It means taking action. You need to get to the polls. If you have a neighbor that can't get to the polls, help them get to the polls. The lady down the street that can't get out, that can't yet even get to the grocery store, generally will go. When I see a 102-year-old woman standing in line for hour upon hour to vote, I would be so embarrassed by not voting that I'm not sure what I would do. I would not be proud of myself. I would want to dig a hole and jump in it. It's that important. When you don't vote, to me, it's like spitting in your grandparents' face, because many of them made sacrifices. When we talked about that Ruby Bridges case, she went to school. White people were willing to take their kids out of school, not just in her classroom, but in the entire school. They would say everything to her 6-year-old that except call her a child of God. There were two people in particular. One would come holding a small coffin with a black doll in it every day, chanting hate as she went to school and as she came home. Another one was threatening to poison her and the federal agents that accompanied her to school would not allow her to eat in the school cafeteria because of this threat. She had to bring her own food, but that was okay. When one day Ruby was on her way to school, there was one teacher in that entire school that would teach her. There was only one student, one teacher, and Ruby was that student. She saw Ruby stop in front of the crowd and she saw her lips moving. And it just scared her to death. What is she saying to these people? And when she finally, after holding her breath the entire time, not knowing what would happen, and Ruby got to the classroom, she said, what did you tell them? We find out that this 6-year-old young girl, before she ever went past that crowd, either going to school or coming home, prayed for those people. Prayed for them. 6-year-old. And these people are full of hate. And the only way that we are going to change this system and get some semblance of justice is to become involved. Know who you're voting for. Know why you're voting for. But get off of your armchair and get down and vote. There is no off year. There is no unimportant election. You'd be surprised at the influence that the Water Commission, everything else, has on your life. You'd be absolutely amazed and surprised. When we saw people absolutely lose their mind the other day when Lizzo played the crystal flute owned by James Madison. She is classically trained. And if you listen to the song, she played well, very well. But part of the opportunity was available because we have changed the way we look at libraries. The largest library in the world, the largest in the world, is the Library of Congress, run by Carla Hayden, a black woman. We don't get opportunities like that unless we have somebody in position that can place people there. And part of that is a change in the way that we look at libraries. As I talked earlier in the program, people are not wanting knowledge to get out. Because if they found out how poorly people were treated, how much done to advance not only America but the world, there would be shame. And I think that's what is happening. It's all in order to save face, to avoid tarnishing a halo that you have drawn around your own head. This is why we have the program here. We come to you every Sunday at 4 o'clock, 1 o'clock Pacific. And I want you to follow this series. We need more people to follow the series. Let me give you that number because we're not going to be very much longer. And that number is 646-668-8217. Area code 646-668-8217. We're willing to engage with you, but we expect you to be adults. We don't want a bunch of profanity. We can have a civil discussion and still disagree. The problem with America is not that we don't have the facts there. It's that we are afraid to talk about them. We are afraid to mention them because we put people into two boxes. And there are more than two boxes. We think that every white person descended from a slave owner. But there are people that would be so proud of their ancestors if they knew the truth, both black and white, both black and white. We're all in this boat together, but we are rowing in different directions. We have been successful. But we could be more successful. And that success starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us being willing to recognize what is taking place in history. That's where it begins, folks. If you are not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. It's time to remove your head from wherever it may be, whether it be in sand or whether it be under your arm somewhere or whatever. Use your imagination. That is not the formula for success. We'll begin to see. We look at and listen to the plaque at the Statue of Liberty that says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. But the most important part of that poem is the line above it immediately above it that's not on that point. And it says, you keep your finest, in other words. Give me the rest, and we'll make them success. That's what it says. We do that, and we put everybody down. We spend more time suppressing excellence than anything else. We find that once we know a person, we can appreciate a person. But we have done everything in this world that we can press. It is now time to come together, to work together, to move forward, and it is only done when we know the facts, both black, both white. We see that when the Transcontinental Railroad was finally connected in Utah, we see a picture with bunches of white people. They didn't build the railroad. The people that built the railroad were Orientals, Chinese labor. But we don't want to even give them credit for the hard work and the lives that were lost. We have to put ourselves, or we have to put a certain group in the place as if they worked. Yeah, there have been plenty of people that have worked. There have been plenty of people that have overcome. There have been times when the Irish were vilified, when the Italians were vilified, Polish were vilified. The constant in that, Native Americans, people of color, our neighbors to the south. We don't understand, or we don't even hear the fact that Mexico was strongly against slavery. And that when some slaves in the South escaped, they went south to Mexico. We always think everybody had to go to Canada. Miss out on so much. Let me mention very briefly another person that we had during World War I. We think that we only had pilots in World War II. We had a fighter pilot in World War I, a black man by the name of Eugene Bullard from the state of Georgia, who ran away from Georgia when the Ku Klux tried to kill his father, made it to Norfolk, stowed away on a ship, learned German crossing the Atlantic Ocean, made his way to France, fought with the French Foreign Legion, was wounded twice, last time so severely he couldn't return to duty. What was his response? Make me a pilot. And he did. He was in an exclusive group. And he shot down enemy planes. He then ran a operation or a restaurant, nightclub in Paris that was frequented by Germans, who did not know that he spoke German. The information that he passed on to the French was ignored, but it could have stopped World War. When a price was put on his head, he had to escape back to America. The only job he could get here was an elevator operator. And anybody around old enough to remember the Today Show with Dave Garraway and J. Fred Lungs, the monkey, he was the elevator operator because that's the only job. When France opened its Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the president of France, Charles de Gaulle, personally invited him over here, over there. When de Gaulle was in New York, he asked about this man, and nobody here knew him. When America allowed the American pilots with the French Foreign Legion to join the U.S. military, they did so with one exception, Eugene Bullard, because of the color of his skin. Posthumously, again, after his death, some 70 years after the man is dead, they make him a second lieutenant in the United States forces. These are things that happen that we all should be aware of. It's shameful, but unless we face it, we'll never solve it. The program you're listening to is Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come here every week. We do want to engage with you and hope that you'll keep this number available, because next week, when we talk about voter suppression, which is part two of this miniseries, we want you to join us. Join us on the air. Questions. Doesn't have to be from that particular segment. It can be anything on the history that we're talking about. If you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com, you'll see over 250 posts and covers everything from the American Civil War to today. We want to be your source of information. We also ask that you support us by using our links when you're shopping with partners. We find that while we do look for donors and we do look for sponsors, you can help us by utilizing something that most of you do every day, and that is when you shop with a partner, use our link to get there. We're paid a small royalty by the partner, not by you, but it does allow us to provide you the best information possible. We seek to engage with you on many different levels. It's been my pleasure to speak with you today. Today is October 2nd, and we will return October 9th, which is next Sunday, and talk about voter suppression. So the program, Did You Know? Keep this link available. Join us. Support us. Question us. Let us know how we're doing, what we can improve, because we want to be engaged with you. My friends, be blessed. It has been my pleasure, and I hope that you've been able to gain information that is useful to all of us. Thank you.